We'd like to call this Reedley Planning Commission regular meeting to order for Thursday, June the 17th, 2021. Right now, we'd like to have the call to order. Ellen, please.
We did the call to order. Why don't we do the Pledge of Allegiance and then roll call, Chair?
Okay. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May be seated.
I'll do roll call. Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio?
Here.
Commissioner Luzania? Commissioner Perez? Chair, Commissioners Luzania and Perez have an excused absence today. And Chair Hudson?
Here. Thank you. This is the opportunity now for public comment, which provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda for this evening. Is there anyone that would like to participate in the public comment?
And I do not see anyone raising their hand on Zoom. So if you do want to provide a public comment at this time, please click the raise your hand option. Otherwise, if your item is not on the agenda, otherwise, if your item is on the agenda, you can wait until that item is presented. So I'll wait a few seconds here. Chair, I don't see anyone raising their hand on here.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. We'll now close the public comment session. We'll now move to the consent agenda. Minutes of the regular meeting, March the 4th, 2021. We recommend to the commission for approval of those minutes. Any discussion?
No, I move to approve.
We have a motion to approve.
A second.
We have a second.
Commissioner Conrad, or excuse me, Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we move to the public hearing. Item number two, consideration of environmental assessment number 2021-7 and conditional use permit application number 2021-3 through resolution number 2021-08. The staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. And who would like to speak to that?
I'll speak to that, Chair.
Okay, Ms. Moore.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Senior Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you tonight is a conditional use permit application and environmental assessment for a proposed wireless telecommunications facility. And before we get into the specific project, to provide some background on this item, you may recognize this lattice tower that is on the Reedley High School campus and that you can see when you're driving by on Reed Avenue or probably Manning as well, because it's pretty tall. But this tower does have a lot of equipment and telecommunication antennas from private carriers, as well as other public agency entities. And so because the Reedley High School is wanting to, they're doing a site plan amendment or they're redoing the high school campus. And so the location of this tower does not work for them anymore. So they are wanting to remove the tower. And by doing so, they did reach out to everyone that is on the tower right now to look for other locations because they won't take the tower down until everybody moves off of it. And so one of the entities that is on this tower is the city of Reedley. There are some emergency response communications equipment that is on this tower. So there are quite a few public agencies and private carriers that are looking for other locations. And the applicant this evening is Verizon Wireless, and they reached out to the property owner, Pioneer Equipment, Inc., and they came to an agreement for adding their equipment to a new tower that would be located at 1714 9th Street. So this map shows the project location in proximity to some notable buildings. The dashed yellow square shows where the proposed tower would be located. And as you can see, it's directly adjacent to the Reedley Parkway. It's across 9th Street from City Hall. Yep, so it's right out there. Yeah, we can walk out and see it right now probably. And then the City Hall employee parking lot is across 9th Street. And then, so that whole parcel where the yellow dashed square is and then where the Pioneer Equipment Company label is, that is all one property right now that's owned by Pioneer. And so a lot of the area is vacant, or it's, you know, storing outdoor equipment and such, but there is a small lease area that is proposed here where the tower would be. And as you can also see across from this, the Pioneer Equipment Company building on 10th Street is the Reedley Museum. And then further down on 10th Street is the Educational Support Center. So that kind of hopefully helps provide some context of where exactly this project location is. But yes, it is not too far from here at all. So part of the proposed tower, it will be a new 120-foot tall monopine stealth tower. And so what that means is that would actually be a monopole tower that looks like a pine tree, essentially. And it would include the Verizon panel antennas, as well as Omni antennas for the City of Reedley emergency response communications at this time. At this time, the city's representatives and engineers are talking to Verizon to discuss, you know, the specific equipment that would be needed. So there may be some minor changes, you know, maybe to the ground cabinets or something like that, but there is no anticipated change to the lease area or anything of that nature. And so moving on to the ground area, this is a 25 by 25 foot leasing area, which would be 625 square feet total. And it would include a few cabinets, a generator, a standby generator, and some other equipment. I think there's a GPS antenna as well. And this lease area would be surrounded by an 8-foot tall chain link fence. It would include privacy slats, and it would also include barbed wire. And for barbed wire, that's not necessarily recommended along the Reedley Parkway. However, the existing property does have barbed wire along the perimeter of it. So it wouldn't look completely out of place in this instance because it's also zoned as light industrial. So that the barbed wire is okay. And then for privacy slats, staff does see historically that those do get tagged quite a bit with graffiti because they're perfect canvases. But in this case, the existing perimeter fence around the whole property has barbed wire on it. So that should deter folks from trying to graffiti this. We will see how that goes. But at this point, staff's recommendation is to include the privacy slats just to hide the equipment from folks that are looking at it from the Reedley Parkway. And the slight grayed out areas of this image that kind of look like an L shape, that is a proposed easement right of way on private property for access for Verizon to go to the tower to do minor equipment checks and maintenance and that sort of thing. So that's something that would be worked out with the current property owner and Verizon. So for Verizon also provided us with photo simulations, and they were kind enough to provide five. So there are five different views here. So this is what it looks like now before the monopine tree. And so you're looking, the viewpoint is on the sidewalk on 10th Street looking towards Pioneer. And so this is the proposed photo simulation showing the tree that's right behind that narrow pole right there. So it is very tall. We do acknowledge that. So it is noticeable from this viewpoint. This is a view from 10th Street in front of the KCUSD Educational Support Center. And this is showing the 120 foot tall tree as proposed with both sets of antennas on there. The emergency communication equipment does have to be pretty high up. So it is at the very top of the monopine tree, and then Verizon's antennas are a little bit farther down. So in this image, it does blend in a little bit more because there is a tree canopy there because there's a tree canopy there. This is a view from 9th Street. So as you know, as Rob and I are going into the parking lot, this is what we'll see. And then that is the proposed viewpoint there. So it is noticeable there. There is another tree adjacent to it though. Viewpoint number four, this is, I think this is from the alley, or it's, it looks like it might actually be right on the property, on Pioneer's property. And so that would be what it would look like from that viewpoint. And finally, this is a photo simulation showing the view of the lease area specifically, and this is from the Reedley Parkway. So this is what folks would see walking along the Reedley Parkway. So moving on to public noticing, there was a public hearing notice published in the Mid-Valley Times on June 3rd. And I did wanna point out that originally this, there was discussion of this being an 80 foot tall tower. So based on the noticing requirements and how we had to kind of get the publication in early, it was advertised in the paper as an 80 foot tall tree. The day after that was published, there were discussions about adding the City of Reedley equipment on there. And so the height did increase to 120 feet, which is what we had. So that was fixed for the public hearing notices that were mailed to the surrounding property owners on June 3rd, that same day. Environmental assessment number 2021-7 determined that the project is categorically exempt under the infill development project section of CEQA. And I did want to note a correction that I want to make on resolution number 2021-08. And I did provide that as handouts to everybody. There's a date correction on the second page that was highlighted. It originally said February 25th, 2021. That's a date of a previous environmental assessment. So as if the council decides to adopt this resolution, please mention that it's this resolution as amended to include the correct date on there of June 17th, 2021. My apologies for that. With that, staff's recommendation is to approve resolution number 2021-08 as amended, which includes the approved environmental assessment 2021-7 and the conditional use permit application number 2021-3, which authorizes the installation of a new Verizon Wireless unmanned telecommunication wireless facility on the northwestern portion of 1714 9th Street. That concludes staff's report. I did want to say that there was some public comment, written public comment that was provided this afternoon. We do have the author of that public comment that'll be here this evening to go over his comments, but I did just wanna let you know that that is in front of you this evening for you to review. So that was submitted in time for me to make copies for everybody. So with that, that concludes staff's report, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Commissioners, do you have some questions?
I'm pretty sure you guys done research, but the proposed antenna is going to be here, and a street down is the water tower, and there's also antennas up there. Is there any interference that's going to, did you guys think about the interference, or was there anything discussion regarding that? Or is that, well, those items different from what would be here on this antenna?
Yeah, the equipment on the water tower, there's unwired broadband, which is a wireless internet, and then there is also AT&T. So there are two, there are the same cellular carriers. I have not, that was not up for discussion. You know, we hadn't specifically mentioned that. We do have Verizon that is tuning in via Zoom, who, if they want to speak to that, they can. But I, yeah, I would assume that if it were an issue, they would know about it. But again, that would kind of be up to them. We, the staff did not discuss that with them specifically.
Okay. I was just wondering if there was going to be any issues with that later on with two broadband, you know, big companies. Is it going to interfere with, I mean, we need the dispatch, we need the emergency, you know, I'm glad that's at the top to be able to, you know, get that information out. So,
and they are, just to be clear for the public emergency ones, they are on a different bandwidth, right?
Yes.
Which is obviously very intentional. Part of the reason also why they have to be up higher. It's not uncommon as the lattice tower right now, there's multiple carriers that are on the lattice tower. So it's not uncommon to have multiple carriers within very close proximity of each other. And they do have different settings, at least to the point where they don't end up interfering with each other. It's pretty small adjustments that have to be made for that. But the limited discussions we've had with them, they have not indicated that there is any concern about that. And I know that while they did not have specific conversations with us about any particular location, it's clear that they are very well aware of who's in town and where they are from the conversations that they have had with us. So I would feel, unless they, on Zoom, Verizon, the representatives joining us tonight, unless they were to jump in and say differently, my feeling on that is that if there were any type of concern, as Ellen had stated, that would have already been addressed directly by them.
I don't see any raised hands quite yet. So if there are any other questions.
Do you know how tall the tower is on Reedley High's property?
I do not know how tall that is. I think it is significantly taller than 120 feet. Yeah.
Okay. That's, yeah, I was gonna say.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm. 190 and
just
change,
under,
right?
200.
Mm-hmm.
And that antenna is going to get completely removed at some point.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Not all the representatives on that current antenna are jumping onto this proposed antenna, right?
They are not, no.
So there could be a potential of another antenna somewhere else?
There will be, certainly. There's a couple out just outside of the city limits on some county land that the county is looking to put their items on. And we have been approached already by multiple other carriers that were already looking for expansion areas. But this, of course, makes that need even more imminent.
Okay.
Yeah, so the commission should expect to see in the coming year plus at least one more, potentially two more CUPs for cellular towers.
Okay. That's it for me.
Any further comments, questions? I'd like to provide an opportunity for the public to speak. If you could please come to the podium and state your name and address, I'd appreciate it.
John Powell, address is PO 1527 Reedley. I am a former board member of the museum, and of course, we have not had a chance to have a board meeting since we got this notice late. But there was concern expressed when they saw it, because it's going to be looking right out the front door of the museum, right over the top of that building. This is my private comments. Just background really quickly on me. I am an engineer. I actually headed the group that did the specifications to which all of this 5G, 4G technology is being built worldwide now, back about 12 years ago. I've worked on towers all over the world. I first want to call to your attention that there is done by the city of Sedona, Arizona, a study. As you can imagine, for Sedona, they're very concerned about visual impact, being the community that they are. They did a study and they found that with regards to visual obstruction to tower construction, the least obstructive is a lattice tower like the one that's over there, but not painted. So just standard galvanized, you let it, after a few years, the galvanizing goes to a patina gray, that is the least obstructive. The next one, and I have these on here, would be item B, 1B, is a galvanized monopole. Again, you let it go to its normal patina color over a few years. The last is the, what I call the fake tree. And especially in this particular instance, it's gonna be the only pine tree in that whole area. The other trees are going to change color with the seasons, all the ones below it, and it's going to be sticking there at a common color year round. They are the most expensive. I think the Verizon rep would agree with that. They're the most expensive to install. They are also by far the most expensive to service. If you're going to do anything on them, you have to get a crane. The city probably should be aware of that because their equipment does require service and it gets incredibly expensive to do that service. Plus on that tree, the one of the big systems that would go up there, you probably, as you drive around, like on Manning Avenue, they've got cameras on the intersections. Those all come to the top of that tower. That has to have a 360 degree visibility to hit that antenna that's up there that then comes into the PD, which means that basically the top of that tower is gonna have to be denuded because there can't be any branches in the way at that frequency band. Nothing can be in the way, has to be line of sight without obstruction. So our recommendation was just that you put up a standard monopole, would be the least visually obstructive, especially once it, the galvanizing is treated. It's a lot less expensive on the part of everybody that's installing on it. Let me just look at this really quick here. I think you can read through generally the rest of it. I made some recommendations, which it sounds like the planners are already considering, which would be some reserving space for future growth. All of us that do tower work like to see co-location, which you as a planning commission have the authority under the FCC to force, meaning that if somebody else wants to come in and put in a tower, you can tell them that they've got to go on an existing tower if there's plan for that to put that space in, so you don't end up with towers all over the place. Very desirable. And I'm a techie, so I shouldn't complain about that, but I don't like seeing stuff sticking up everywhere. Specifically for the co-located government services, I know that Kings Canyon Unified also has stuff on the existing tower. They will be looking space for that, but they've already talked to me about helping them do a review of their general communications because this tower does not give them coverage, for example, for the buses when the buses get up into the hills. So they're looking at potentially doing some alternatives, which would maybe reduce at least the need, although they may want something for just talking to the schools in the city here. So that would be a possibility for them. Otherwise, the PD's got several, I mentioned one of them, they've got several other things, as does the fire department's backup system is currently on that tower. My cousin was a fire chief here that put it up there and I helped him, so I'm aware of that. So both the police department and the fire department are on, their main transmitters are on that existing Reedley High School tower that would need to be moved. I know they were talking with the county about going out on the new county tower out on the at the road yard, but again, that moves them away from town. So probably this tower would be a much better choice for them up on the top. And I've been working off and on with the lieutenant of the police department that does their communication, so I'm pretty aware of what's going on with them. Other than that, I would just really do some planning on this so that as other people come in, you've got things worked out well ahead of time and you don't get stuck with requests for another tower a block away. And Ellen has my contact information. I'm always happy to talk to people. Like I said, I've done this all over the world, so.
Thank you, John.
Questions?
Oh, this is pretty good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Powell. And you say there is someone online?
Yeah, we do have a representative of Verizon, Pete Fieri. He is available for comments or questions. Peter, did you want to introduce yourself? Or yeah, raise your hand if you want to introduce yourself. Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Hello, Alan. Hello, Council. This is Peter Ferrari with SAC Wireless on behalf of Verizon Wireless. I can hold my comment to the end of all public comments if that is approved, and I can speak to some of these matters that have been mentioned.
So he's available to speak.
He is. Yeah, he is available to speak. So are there any, is there anyone else on this call that is interested in providing public comment at this time? Oh yeah, or Chair, are you okay with, we already opened the public comment. My apologies.
Right, we're still in public comment.
Thank you. Okay, it doesn't look like anyone is raising their hand at this time. So Peter, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and provide a response.
Sure. Are you able to, are you guys able to hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And is that Rob sitting across from you? Rob, it's a pleasure to talk to you as well.
Yeah,
so ultimately, I thank you all for having us here today and inviting us here. I also have some of my colleagues joined in, not required to speak as well. I will do that on our behalf. Ultimately, when the project came to us that we need to leave the existing tower and relocate somewhere in the city, I've been working extensively with Ellen and Rob to find the best place for that move at the quickest time possible. I feel we have accomplished both of those things, as not only it is a good location, as even the public comment has stated, in relation to helping serve the community that is there. I'm very excited to be having been talking to Rob and his team. You have a lovely team and really to be working with in relation to helping out fire and police as well. It is always Verizon's intent, as long as mine and SAC, to provide, to help as many people as possible in terms of not only the coverage, but what can we do to help the community of which we are in. That leads to the second part of that. We are fully aware of the location of the beautiful parkway to the south-southwest of this proposed location. And through working with Ellen and Rob, that is the reason that Verizon is willing to spend the extra set expense to please both the county and the given area and the city to keep a low profile and keep stealth within that given area. So albeit it is aware that the seasons do change, we are aware of that. Stealth is something that does cost more, and not only for implementation, but for maintenance, but that is something that Verizon is willing to do to help out the city, both for that visual impact and to allow for fire and police to be at the top of that given location. In relation to the prior comment that was raised by one of the commission members in relation to interference, we have run full radio frequency reports of this area amongst others that were considered. There is considered to be no interference. As was mentioned by Mr. Terry, we are leaving a tower that had exponentially more carriers on there. We are going to be less than that, of course. We have then pushed to a higher height, as was mentioned as well by Ms. Moore earlier in the meeting, that would then result in not only us being able to be there, but we have reserved the height of upwards of 120 feet for the proposed tower to allow for the fire and police to be there as well. And then we will also be opening up below where Verizon decides to put their antennas for other carriers to future locate on this as well. Given that California has their unique climate, we understand that there will be temperature changes in that of the visual impact of said stealth tower. But at the same time, Verizon is willing to pay that cost to appease not only the planning department, the commission, but the public as well, as they are walking through that corridor and do not have to see necessarily the visual impact of the given monopole, but a stealth design tree. So I thank you for your time. I thank you for your review. And again, I'm here for any future or further questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And I did also want to just say that staff's recommendation is to propose the monopine tree. We do realize that, I mean, we definitely realize and acknowledge that there's going to be an impact regardless, since it is close to the parkway. It does seem like it's just a little bit more effort to try to blend in, even though not necessarily does based on all the photo sims that we saw, but if Verizon is willing to put in that effort to have it be a tree and, because there's already a tree canopy there, the staff does support that effort. And in addition, you know, especially with a lot more people working from home these days, we are, and as Rob mentioned, we are getting a lot of inquiries for additional towers. And so to the point about co-location, there is an incentive for folks that are present, that are proposing towers, to have a lot of co-location on there as much as they can, of course. So we definitely hear that comment that there should be more co-location so that there aren't as many towers. However, we will be seeing more just because of the increased demand that has occurred over the last year.
So as John mentioned earlier about maintenance and all that, is Verizon going to take care of all of that? It's not going to come out of the city. There's not going to be no financial impact and a negative impact to the city.
That's correct. Yep. Yeah.
So the city's recommending this, you know, fake tree because mm-hmm. there's really not going to be an extra cost to the city, but also aesthetically to blend it in instead of just being a pole.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It would be a tower that's privately owned, operated, maintained by Verizon, and then they would lease it out to another carrier or something like that. But yeah, it would all be private parties.
Just to ensure complete transparency, though, and to acknowledge Mr. Powell's comments, which I think are extremely good.
Yes.
Should there need to be any work that takes place on the emergency system that is located there that is owned and operated by the city, access to that might be more expensive given the fact that they would need to have certain infrastructure to access mm-hmm. that. So there is the possibility that if there were that need in the future, as there always is some level of need of maintenance and upkeep, access is a little more complicated than just up a standard monopole. Right. So while there definitely would be a little more cost associated with that, staff's determination in conversation with both PD and fire, and talks about their budget, current and future, felt that this was still the more appropriate design and that they were willing to take on that additional potential cost because of the effort to try to improve the aesthetic. And it's interesting. I have read several items similar to those that Mr. Powell brought up here as far as studies that had to do with the aesthetics of those items. And while the findings do certainly point to less of an aesthetic impact for certain monopole and certain coloring, it's amazing that if you reach out to those agencies, that the majority of calls that they will still get just from the average citizen is, why didn't you try to do something like this? Or why didn't you try to do something like that, like a monopole? It is interesting that even though the data shows the preference is one thing, there's always still going to be that subset of the population that thinks that I don't want to see that, I wanted to see this. So this is certainly one of those instances where it's not possible to please everybody. And any type of tower that you're going to have is absolutely going to have some type of aesthetic impact. It is going to be noticed regardless. But certainly appreciate Mr. Powell's comments and definitely his expertise and weigh in on the topic.
I have a question for the Verizon representative. My wife and I travel several times a year down to Palm Springs to vacation, and I enjoy seeing the towers that look like the palm trees. And we vacation places where we've seen towers that look like redwoods. Are there any other kind of tower designs or looking like a tree that they looked at also?
Peter, were you able to hear that question?
Yeah, yes, I was. Thank you for the question. Ultimately, we can't monopalm in this area based on the Verizon of co-location opportunities. We would not be able to put additional towers or additional antennas on that because ultimately, say we were to create the said monopalm. And again, thank you for that question. It's a very important one. If we were to then create this monopalm tree, is what we call them, or the palm tree, then the fire and police would be at the top, but then you'd have a large visual impact of not only Verizon antennas, but then should we be able to locate or co-locate with other carriers throughout that, then you'll ultimately have a monopole with palms at the top, but then quite a few antennas that are still not disguised. So that was considered, but ultimately the pine trees would help cover all the antennas and all the wiring for all the co-locators, Verizon, future co-locators, and fire and police as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Never?
No. Oh, wow.
Interesting.
I've seen some actually now where they're even putting antennas on live palm trees. Yep. Not what we're looking at here.
No.
Mr. Powell, you have put together some really good information, and your expertise and research are very enlightening. Are there any further comments that you would like to make after hearing the comments that have been made? Could you come to the podium?
We got notice on this so recently. I've not had a chance to talk with either the police chief or the fire chief, who I know both know well. My concern is for the city is a maintenance cost, because at any time they do anything, and I have not, so I don't know what the service history is on their equipment. Every time you're going to touch that, you're talking about hundreds of dollars to run a crane every single time it's serviced, because you cannot climb one of those poles. It's one of the trees. There's no way to do that. So you're talking about, for example, anybody who was here recently, they're putting the lights on the water towers right now. And I've been out there working with them every day to help them with that. And they made a huge investment in that crane. I don't know what the city got charged for that, but and I don't think that is going to go. Ellen, do you know what the comparison is between height of the water towers and this monopole? So I think that's about the crane that they're talking about needing to use would be about the same one that they had for the putting the lights up. And that's they were renting something like $1,000 a day for it. Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, questions?
I know that they're going to have to service it at least once a year to meet FCC requirements for checking frequency and stability and everything.
Thank you, Mr. Powell. Well, Mr. Terry, it looks like you have, your staff has looked through all of these options, possibilities, concerns, alternatives. You feel this is the best way to go?
We have, with the full understanding that there is no such option that's, you know, absolutely perfect. So every single one had its positives and its negatives. We felt that of those offered, that this allowed for the most positives, fully understanding that there was the additional maintenance costs and access, and even some people that are not going to like the tree, because we did get some of that feedback as well, even amongst our own staff. Some just said, you know, I don't like those. It's obvious it's fake and I don't like them. And of course, others said, I appreciate the fact that they're trying to reduce the aesthetic impact. So again, of all those that we did take a look at, and we did everything that we can to really do the compare and contrast to the best of our ability on staff, we did feel that this was an appropriate request, and we're supportive of the ultimate request being delivered by Verizon tonight.
Thank you. Okay. There's no further comments online. I'll close the public session.
I don't see any other additional comments.
At this time, I'd like to close the public comment section of our meeting on this issue. Commissioners, do you have any thoughts? No. Questions? Let's put it to a vote. Okay. We have before us resolution number 2021-08, and the staff recommends that the Planning Commission take action to approve environmental assessment number 2021-7, a categorical exemption under section 15332, class 32. Infill development project of the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA guidelines. Approved Under B, a conditional use permit application number 2021-3, authorizing the installation of a new Verizon Wireless unmanned telecommunication wireless facility on the northwestern portion of a 1.497 acre parcel located at 1714 9th Street. Would entertain a motion.
A motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve.
And then, and just to clarify again, if the commission so wishes to correct my mistake of the wrong date, if you want to adopt the resolution as amended, that would, to reflect the revised date.
Let's go ahead and do a motion to approve as amended, as with the copy provided by you, Ellen, with the date change to the 17th of June of 2021.
Thank you.
All right, so second.
We have a second also.
We'll do the roll call. Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0. Resolution is approved.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Powell. You're welcome to stay for the remainder of our meeting. It should be fairly short.
Very exciting meeting.
We're not going to keep you here as late as we did our last meeting.
Right.
That was a long one.
That's a promise.
Yeah. Commissioners, it looks like Peter Fieri is raising his hand. Sure. So let me unmute him real quick.
Thank you for that, Commission. I just want to thank you all for your time. It's a pleasure, as I said, working with Ellen. It's a pleasure working with Rob. Also, as well, I did want it to be heard on here. If necessary, Verizon is able to do a monopole. Of course, as stated, we would do the monopine to help the visual impact of the city and residents, but we are able to do a monopole if should be. But again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Okay, we move now to item number 3, update regarding the revised placement of a mural on the west facing wall of the Cortesia Styling Salon building located at 1452 11th Street. Mr. Chair?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Commission. This item is just an update on a previous item that we had brought to you before that was for the Armed Forces themed mural that is proposed to be on 11th Street on the Cortesia Salon building on the wall that faces to the west that is just adjacent to Foster Freeze. So I'll jump into this one right now and get you guys the details of what we're taking a look at as soon as this decides to start working for me. I might have to pull the hole next.
You might want to turn on the device.
This one is on. I did check that first. I've been there before. Okay, there we go. I think it's working. Okay, so this is for signed permit application 2021-12 pertaining to the placement of what was being proposed as a painted mural on the west-facing wall of the Cortesia Styling Salon building located at 1452 11th Street. This is background here on where the project site is. Did that freeze on us, Ellen? I think it did. There we go. Okay, so where the yellow circle is right there is just off of 11th Street. You have Foster Freeze just to the southeast of that and the Cortesia Salon just on the northeastern side of where that yellow bubble is. So the reason why we're coming before you tonight is that the original conceptual design was recommended for approval by the Planning Commission back on March 4th of this year. The original recommendation and the directions that were given at that time are still valid because the language within the resolution did allow for there to be some changes and adjustments because it was a conceptual design. So there could have been some changes within the design itself, the overall design placement, the overall sizing, as we were trying to get all of those items right. So I that's really important. I want to point out that we're not asking the Planning Commission to take any reaffirmation action tonight, but we did make sure that we advertised this as a public hearing. That way, if the commission or any members of the public wanted to provide additional public input on the adjustments, the update items here, or if the Planning Commission wanted to either retract that previous recommendation or make changes to that, you would have the ability to do that in concert with a public hearing. So the change of what we're seeing is the application, how it's going to actually be affixed to the wall, and the material of the mural being changed from painted, now going to a vinyl framed banner. And I'll show you exactly what that means here. There's also a proposal for a title to be added just above the actual unit itself. And because it's now going to be a vinyl framed banner, we're able to do larger size. And then there is a slight change in the concept design. The overall concept of it is the same, but you'll notice that the design itself is going to be a little bit different. I'll talk about that as well. So here was what the original design looked like. That was all going to be painted. It was going to have what's called the drop shadow appeal to it, kind of make it look like it was coming off the wall a little bit, but again, all hand painted. The amended design concept now looks like this. The reason why there were some amendments that went forward was, first and foremost, the artist that we had been working with to do the painted mural started having some scheduling challenges. And he was talking to us about those items, potential delays that it might have. Then, of course, COVID started impacting a lot of the costs that were associated with materials. So paint, same exact type of thing. You started seeing that all of a sudden paint costs were going 150, 200, sometimes even upwards of 300% increase for like the graffiti coating. When the cost of the painted mural was eking up more and more and more as we were getting closer to contract, how much square footage you could cover was coming down. Part of the conversation that we had had not only with the veterans, but also with the Planning Commission when this was first introduced was, is there any way to actually have it be a little bit bigger and to fill up a little bit more of that wall? And we were finding the challenges that we were going to have at that, we were actually needing to start talking about scaling that down. So that was going to make that even more challenging. In the meantime, as we were going through those discussions and trying to figure out how we could actually work with that, Kings County Unified School District had done a large banner that was just on the back side of their wall over here on 10th Street. Unfortunately, that one was at eye level and tagged in the last couple of weeks and has since been removed, and they're working on replacing that. However, seeing what they could do, the square footage they could do, the cost they could do it, the amount of maintenance, the placement, everything of that nature, we felt that this could actually provide a good alternative option for us. So we had approached the company that had done that for them and started having conversations with them after speaking with the mural artist about the challenges that we were having and the scheduling challenges that mural artist was having as well. So the election was to move into a different direction. You can see the theme on this one is obviously similar. It's still celebrating the veterans and the Reedley area veterans in particular. The dog tag theme is still there. We do need to be careful though. We want to make sure that the art that is going to be utilized here is not going to be so close to what the original proposal was that that artist is going to feel as though he is not getting credit or his idea was not being appropriately addressed or compensated for. We have had communication with him to ensure that we are walking a very fine line on that. He has been extremely good to work with, very, very flexible. Hopefully we'll be able to do something with him painted wise in the future somewhere else in town. But the benefits of this one right here are the fact that it's going to be able to be larger. The theme is still going to be there. And now some of these additional items, this again is still just at the conceptual phase. So you could still see some small changes and adjustments that would happen here. As I had stated with the original recommendation, there is allowance within the language there for that resolution recommending this to the City Council for those small changes to still be accommodated as long as staff felt that those items were still consistent with what was delivered to the Planning Commission and the recommendation overall that the Planning Commission was given. I do feel that this amended design does fall within that category. And unless the Planning Commission feels different, then all the items would still stay in place as approved for recommendation in March. I did throw on a couple highlights on here and some feedback that we did get not only from the local veterans, but even staff and Rotary members who are funding part of this had some feedback as well. So these are things that are currently being worked on by the company to implement in. You can see the very first one is to add Reedley in so that it doesn't just say thank you veterans, it says thank you Reedley veterans. Obviously we want to make sure that we're celebrating the veterans right here within our community. There is being proposed sign-focused backlighting, so the type of lighting you guys have seen before that comes out and then it points straight back at the wall. So it would simply highlight this right here without having light bleed over into other areas onto the street, into the parking lot area. It would be focused right on the sign. Another very important part, they of course are using what's referred to as stock photography or stock images to lay out this concept design. So we wanted to make sure that they're going to update those pictures to ensure appropriate representation of our cultural diversity and our gender inclusion within our area, and ensure that it's very clear that all the branches of the military are being thanked and highlighted within this. So you will see the members of the military that are in the middle there, you will see some changes there as those items are then plugged in. And below that frame line right there, because of the cost savings, even going to this larger one right here, there should be dollars identified that can be utilized to do an anti-graffiti coating that's going to be at about the 7-foot mark all the way down. So the hope is that this is going to be not only up high enough, but also special enough that we're not going to have to have issues with it being tagged. We have seen items like the Reedley on the Bank of America building, the Reedley mural right across the street from us here. We have not, up to this point, knock on wood, had any type of issues with graffiti being covered on that or that being vandalized in any way. So our hope would be that this would be similar in that. However, below that 7-foot mark and that being just a blank wall, it can be very inviting, and it has been tagged many times in the past. So our goal there is to do some anti-graffiti coating below that 7-foot mark in an attempt to try to further dissuade that from happening. And also as a further thank you and gesture to the property owner for allowing placement of this community mural with on their private property. As I had stated, we did send out public notices for this, even though it does not need to have any action items taken. In case the Planning Commission did want to take any type of action to either withdraw the previous recommendation or to amend that in any way, shape, or form, we wanted to ensure that there was an opportunity for a public comment to weigh in on any of these proposed changes here. So that was posted in the Mid-Valley Times on June 3rd. It was also mailed to property owners within 350-foot radius of the project site on June 3rd as well. The cost of the proposed amended mural is still estimated to be at that $15,000, even though the scope has increased because the banner itself is much less expensive and much less intense. And even the application of it onto the wall itself is much more timely. You know, they can have this thing printed, completed, and up on the wall, lettering and everything placed within one day, as opposed to several weeks, which is what you can be looking at for a painted mural. That's the way that the funding breaks down for it: $5,000 from the Reedley Rotary Club, $5,000 from the city's Art in Public Places program, and then an additional $5,000 that the Reedley Rotary is actually organizing, but getting through private donations. As I'd stated, the previous recommendation, unless the Planning Commission would wishes to retract that, would still remain in place for this one. This is simply being delivered to the Planning Commission to ensure good updates. You guys are aware of what is being proposed and what changes are being proposed along the way. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have about this project and any background or where we think we might be going in the future. Chair, hand it back over to you.
Now, this this item you're looking more for an update. It's an update.
Correct.
Although it does, staff did advertise and allow for any public input to be received. Would that be through our meeting here?
It would. Yeah, so you can open it up to public comment, if any, and then if the commission wishes to give any additional direction, you could. If not, you could simply just say thank you for the update and we can move on.
Commissioners first.
Right.
Any questions of Mr.
Terry? Well, I noticed the Space Force isn't on there. But then again, I guess there aren't any veterans from there yet either.
Believe it or not, that was included within our discussions. So we do have a group of veterans that have been actively engaged in the design of this project here. And Chief Garza had very first had the Space Force and their logo and everything indicated on there. And it was actually the veterans that said, you know what, there aren't any veterans associated with that yet. And we're really not 100% sure how that's even going to look. So their feedback to us at this time was, we want to make sure that the veterans and even the active military that's there right now, that they feel that they're being thanked and acknowledged. They said next time we do a mural or even update this one in the years to come when it needs to be updated, they then said, let's circle back to that at that time.
Now, Rob, I'm looking at the art there. It looks like there's a frame. So there has to be a frame to make it look better than just a banner.
Is that yeah. correct? Otherwise, I mean, it is a true vinyl banner. Right. It's very thick vinyl, but of course it has grommets right. every, you know, 6 to 8 inches. And that's how they secure that to the wall. So if they don't then put a frame around it, it just doesn't really give it that aesthetic, right. Appeal so they would want to be able to have.
The wall a little bit. I mean, how when they apply, I mean, have you seen how they're going to apply this? Have you had any?
I have, yeah. We got to see exactly how it works when they did the one at Kings Canyon Unified. Okay. So we were able to go take a look at it. It's not, the frame that they put around it is not real ornate. It's also not very large. Okay. It's really intended to really just kind of finish the edge. But you don't actually want that to be as seen. And I thought that the application they had done at Kings Canyon Unified did that very well. But it did. It really, its main intent is to hide the grommets, how they're secured to the wall.
And the phosphor-free sign to the left, we don't see there. That's still going to be there. Do you guys know if that's still going to be
the pole sign that they have?
Sign, yeah, they have.
They have not. They have not approached us for any type of change in that in any way. We did, of course, reach out to them when this was first proposed. They were the very first property owner that we had approached because the impact was actually going to be largest to them. Yeah. So we did approach them directly, and not only did they say we're in support of that, we'd love to see something there instead of the blank wall.
I was just wondering if that sign was going to get in the way of any of the, I mean, at certain angles, it will get in the way.
Yes, absolutely.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
But because the picture that we had prior, you can see it even with the small, you know, dog tag that we had on there, you can still kind of see that sign. It was like, okay, now it's larger. So.
Yep.
You know,
as you're driving down 11th and that sign is kind of coming in and out of your peripheral view, it will absolutely have a moment where it'll okay. shift through. Yes, without a doubt.
All right. I was just wondering if they said anything about removing it or I don't know.
They have not approached us about any adjustments to the signing on their site at this
time. And that building hasn't been sold yet, right?
It is still actively for sale, but it has not, at least that the property owner has not communicated with us. We do already have an agreement in place, signed agreement with that property owner. It also does include language there that would transfer to the new property owner unless the new property owner were to specifically state that they did not want the item, but it's actually recorded on the property that this is an agreement in place.
Pretty cool. It's bigger.
Yeah. I was happy the fact that it was able to be scaled up in size a little. That
and
was
the Rotary Club is okay with that.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, in fact, they keep asking what's taking so long.
No, good. No.
I'd like to open this time now to public comment on this issue.
I don't see anyone online that wishes to speak, Chair.
John, did you want to speak?
No. I'll take a look at it closer a little bit later. I know I can do that. Okay. I'm from family of about 50 veterans. So.
Thank you.
So one comment I might make when I'm part of the museum, not seeing the three clerks and representatives, but in fact, we just opened a new exhibit. This town has a very large Korean community that a lot of people don't realize.
Oh.
That is the note that's down there on the bottom left that talks about ensuring representation of the cultural diversity. That's absolutely included.
It's hard to tell from the small pictures who that was.
Yeah, the pictures that are up there right now, while there is both male and female as far as gender identity located on there, there isn't a real cultural diversity that's more representative of our community on there. And that was the number one feedback that we immediately gave. And this, of course, was just for them to say, are we headed in the right direction with that concept? And with the original artist. Is he okay with us utilizing some of that design criteria that he had in place, but expanding that?
It'd be very easy to move to represent the community as it is.
Absolutely.
Just two different faces.
All right. Close the public comment this time. And there's no, we're not asking for
no action.
Thank you for that. Very good update.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I want to see it. So let's get it going.
Yeah, we do too. Keep moving.
So long, right?
At this time, we'd like to have the director report the Community Development Department updates.
Okay, terrific. If you guys don't mind, I'm actually going to take my mask off so my glasses will stop fogging them so I can actually read my stuff here. Okay, so a lot of stuff to report on. As you guys know, a lot of things going around the community. The overall trends, though, projects continue to move along, keep coming into the community, and they're moving along very quickly. We do have several more projects that continue to be in the hopper that range everywhere from multifamily, single family, commercial, and industrial. The greatest thing about that, as I've said before, those that are still moving through that pipeline, they're all over town. So we're not just seeing interest in one specific area or maybe even two areas. We are literally seeing it all throughout town, which continues to be a very good thing. We are still seeing housing prices themselves go up, but they are starting to get closer to what we believe is a plateau because they're not raising as ridiculously as they were or as quickly as they were. So it seems like they are at least starting to somewhat flatline or at least start to slow down in their upward trend. A lot of that is also having to do with the fact that we're now starting to see lumber prices and other ancillary construction items start to come back down as well. I heard someone refer to them the other day as they said lumber prices are crashing. I would not personally categorize that as crashing just yet, but they're certainly beginning to stabilize and start to trend back down closer to where they were, which I think is a positive. I wanted to point to this one item and compare just over the last 2 years. If you take January 1 of 2020 through June 17th of 2020, through our building division, right? So this is our permitted construction activity that is happening. To date, during January 1, 2020 to June 17th of 2020, we had processed 204 building permits. We had collected just over $187,000 in fees, and total building valuation was $6.13 million. If you look at that same exact time period this calendar year, so January 1, 2021 through June 17th, 2021, so today, we have processed 424 building permits. That is a 208% increase. We have collected $1.1378 million in fees. That is a 608% increase. And we have a total building valuation of $21.38 million, a 350% increase. The reason why I wanted to point to that is while the numbers are great to see, it's great to see that type of growth and expansion happening within your community because that's jobs, that's opportunity, that's economic development. Those are great things to see. Housing, obviously, extremely important. The reason why I really wanted to point to that was this is being done by a smaller number of staff than you've even had in the past at the City of Reedley. So it is to just highlight and to celebrate the great work that people like Ellen and Caitlin continue to provide to this community. I feel extremely fortunate to have them be a part of this department, and really wanted you guys to just be aware of that as well. I mean, huge, huge amounts of work that they take on and just do it with just the utmost professionalism and efficiency. So thank you very much. Moving into project updates for the Almond Grove development, all their public improvements now are 100% done, everything completely accepted into the city. PG&E has electrified all of their streetlights, which was the very last item outstanding there. All 45 homes are completely occupied now, and that is considered 100% done and into its warranty period. For Reed and Aspen, you are going to hear what I'm going to say right here for several of these different projects. You have self-help is awaiting PG&E and SoCalGas to finish their underground activities. It keeps pushing back the start date of their homes. They're now hoping to be able to get going up in July for the actual construction of their homes, but still waiting for PG&E and SoCalGas and a couple items. DR Horton, same type of thing. While they are nearing completion of their underground, they are still awaiting PG&E and SoCalGas to complete a couple items as well. Right now, we're seeing 6 to 8 month delays that are happening with that, which is the reason why you hear me continue to say that. However, all of their interior streets are paved. Home construction is actively underway. I'm sure as you've seen, as you've gone up and down Reed Avenue. And the final map for their last phase of construction. Right now, they're just building within phase one, but they're taking forward the map for phase three of their project here in the coming weeks. So that clearly shows how quickly things are moving for them, that they're already moving through all of those phases. For Monta Vista out on Button Willow and Myrtle, all of their public improvements are now complete and accepted into the city. All 16 of those homes have been completed and are occupied. The city project just adjacent to that on Button Willow Avenue is 100% complete, except for that one pole that needs to be relocated, PG&E. So again, still waiting for that item. Frankwood Commons at the north part of town, Frankwood on Frankwood and South, their on-site curb and gutter has been placed. They are set to do all of their interior road paving between the second and third weeks of July. Their off-site and connectivity issues for their public improvement construction, they're actively into that right now, about 75% of the way through that. And that's pulling all of the underground infrastructure to serve their site. That's going up Frankwood Avenue. Their model homes are currently under construction right now. So as soon as they are done with that, all of their parking, their ADA requirements, everything have been met, then they can have active model homes that are open right now. They have right now, according to their project manager, an approved wait list. So when I say approved wait list, there's one thing to have an interest list where people are saying, I'm interested in this development. When they say approved wait list, that means people that have already been pre-qualified for the level of home that is being built in that area. Traditionally, they will have a list of about 200 people that will come in that are on an approved wait list for a development this size. They have 600 on their list for Reedley right now. So if that doesn't speak to the interest that there is in housing in Reedley, I really don't know what else can. I mean, three times what they typically have.
What about DR Horton? They're not planning on site models?
They're building their models right now as well, but they're actually doing models and some of their home inventory at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of confused where they were kind of building on one location then.
They're simply doing, they're okay. Doing both. And right. San Joaquin Valley Homes is going to do the same type of item as well. Mm-hmm. They're just actually a little bit behind schedule-wise. They started later, of course, than D.R. Horton did. Rancho Vista, which is the development on Button Willow and Duff. All of those, the agreements that were needed with AID have been finalized now. So everything is recorded. So all of the joint use items, anything dealing with easements and all of that has now been completely and totally done. So the final map for their phase one is actually going to City Council on June 22nd. They have already started their at-risk on-site grading and preparation activities, which they are allowed to do. And they have not started any of the underground items, of course, until that final map and subdivision improvement agreement are approved. And that is scheduled, as I said, for June 22nd, so this coming Tuesday. As you guys can see, all the work is completed now for the Manning Avenue improvements in between the Riverwalk Shopping Center and did that take us out to Frankwood?
Yeah.
There was multiple phases there. I'm trying to remember how many of them they ended up doing. But those are all completed up to this point. EECU construction completely underway. All of their exterior work is completed on their main building and on the ATM. They are set to pave their parking lot area late next week. Of course, all those type of things are as long as the weather holds out. We get to deal with not only rain that can throw anything out, but excessive heat can also create challenges for them as well. But their plan is to begin paving next week. For I Street, the full right-of-way is set to open here next week. There's still some minor delays as they're finishing all of the improvements there. Hopefully you guys have been able to travel that here in the last couple of weeks though and see the banners that were put up for Memorial Day. It was a great program. That actually came together really, really fast. It was first approached to the city by Council Member Tuttle turned around really, really fast by the city manager's office. So much interest in that I believe that next year when those go back up that there's going to be enough banners that it could not only line all of I Street, but we'll be able to go the majority of Manning Avenue as well. So we'll have two different corridors there, which I think will be phenomenal. Manning Avenue annexation, that environmental analysis is ongoing. Those that they have on the team now are moving much quicker than they had been near the beginning, which is a good thing. It remains on schedule, but you know, we're still keeping our foot on the gas pedal on that one as much as we can. For the Armory, Self-Help Enterprises is currently working on their improvement plans. And in case the Planning Commission had not already, in case this hadn't been communicated to you in the past, there has been very, very open communication with the veterans directly from Self-Help Enterprises, who is the chosen developer, and they want the vets to be able to stay there on site as long as possible. I mean, to them, all the way up until the building needs to be demolished for construction activities. They anticipate that that's going to be at least through the winter, this winter. So that was definitely open, welcome news for the vets. I think that they were feeling that they were going to need to be out in early summer. So to be able to get more of an extension on that, I think was a very good thing, even though I don't know how comfortable they are inside that building right now, considering the AC is not very strong, unfortunately. For the Farmland Preservation Program, our council adopted the draft report. They did direct staff, in line with the recommendation given by the Planning Commission, to analyze the questions that we had about SGMA and COVID-19 impacts on the ag economy, and then to bring that back to them at that time to then consider a formal program to look to implement. But they did accept the draft report. They felt that it was very good and were very supportive of that. It was a unanimous acceptance that they took. Our budget for the fiscal year 2021-22 was adopted unanimously by council on June 8th of 2021. So beginning July 1, we have our budget moving forward. And then for future projects, wanted to highlight the Alive After Five program that the chamber has been coordinating. That's the first Friday of every single month, where they have a great collection of businesses throughout the downtown area that are staying open after five. And they have some different street vending options and opportunities and some really good things to do there. So July 2nd is going to be their next one. They're actually going to have some fireworks associated with this one as well. So if you guys have the opportunity, I would highly recommend for you to head out and be able to see that. And as I'd stated before, we are seeing significant commercial interest now that a lot of the rooftops are actively getting under construction. So we're seeing that at the, of course, Manning Avenue annexation area. We're seeing it at Manning and Buttonwillow. We're seeing it at Buttonwillow and Dinuba. So again, circular all throughout town, really, really good things. So that report wraps up at least the report items for the ongoing things. Unless you have any questions, I did have one more discussion item that I wanted for us to touch on for future items, but did you have any questions about any ongoing or upcoming projects within the city that you wanted to bounce off me? Okay. Well, with that being said, now that we are past the June 15th date, of course, when the agenda and everything went out for this meeting, that was just before we had our June 15th reopening date. So we had elected to approach everything as it had been prior to the June 15th. We wanted to just simply be conservative with mass social distancing, those type of items. But we did want to now bring it before the Planning Commission and ask the Planning Commission what the comfort level is moving forward. We anticipate that we would simply utilize language that masks will still be provided for those that wish to have them on, and for those that wish to wear them, that they're absolutely welcome to do so, and that we would, you know, recommend that they do so if they so choose. But that it would no longer be a requirement within the council chambers during our Planning Commission meetings. But we really wanted to bring that to the commission and ask the commissioners what your comfort level was. If you would prefer for us to remain with a mask mandate during our meetings, we will absolutely do that at the behest of the commission.
I think I would rely upon the cemetery.
Your day job's getting pulled into it now.
Well,
he's in contact with
them. Yes, all our restrictions at the cemetery have been lifted. I mean, when it started, everybody had to wear a mask, social distance, 10 people at a graveside service, no longer than 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. So that's
but getting families to abide by that, then our last restriction was no more than 50 people and no more than 45 minutes. And now they've all been lifted, so we're back to normal. And we have buried a few COVID victims, but they weren't all.
I'm fine with your approach.
Okay.
Yeah, if people still want to wear their masks, then they can go ahead and go for it. But I think
following the CDC and Department of Health. And
yeah, certainly we're always going to follow those regulations. So if they did come back, if all of a sudden it was, you know what, we're rolling items back, there is going to be more restrictions. Obviously, yeah, we're going to meet whatever those items are going to be. With the removal of those restrictions, though, we wanted to make sure that the Planning Commission was going to be comfortable with that level while still certainly being sensitive to anyone who would still desire to have any additional layer of protection in that regard.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, that's how we'll look at it moving forward. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Future agenda items. More, would you like to report on possible meetings that are coming up?
Yes, I would. So we usually do not have a meeting the Thursday before July 4th. So we are continuing with that trend. However, we do anticipate having a meeting on July 15th. We have at least two items, I think, for this agenda. The change of zone tentative parcel map and CUP is all listed as one, or I'm sorry, the change of zone and tentative parcel map are the same item, and then the CUP will be an additional item. Do we have any conflicts at this time from the commissioners here? Someone might be.
Yeah, I'm. That's my week of vacation, so.
Gotcha.
No. Every 2 months I take a week. So I that's my birthday week. So I'm not.
Happy birthday!
Great.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big birthday. 44.
Oh, hey. Happy birthday! Okay.
So I'm off that week.
Sure.
My plans do include that day of not being here, but if something changes, I will definitely let you know.
And then, yet this time, we don't have anything scheduled for August. However, that is subject to change, as Rob had mentioned. There's quite a few projects in the pipeline. But
yes,
very good news.
I'm glad to see all the items that are coming and being built and that we've approved 3-4 years ago.
I know.
Coming to fruition. So.
It's amazing how long it takes. Yeah. Ellen and I talk regularly about that. How a lot of times the feedback or even the perception in the community is that nothing is happening until they actually see it, which of course makes sense, right? You can understand why they wouldn't know. And yet by the time shovels are actually in the ground on something, you know, we've been talking about it and it's been presented to the council typically, you know, years before that. But that's California in a nutshell right there, I think.
No, it used to be in the exponent they had where it had how many new permits and the evaluation or, you know, the total. And we don't do that anymore. I think, and of course the exponent just doesn't do Reedley anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that would be something that the citizens of Reedley need to know.
That's a great point. Similar to like the police report that they put out, calls of service and whatnot. I mean, that's all, and it's all public record.
Right.
So yeah, you know what, I'll reach out and have conversations with them about that. That's a great point. Thank you, Commissioner.
Because it's always fun to see how many new homes were going to be built.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if every project that's in the works were at 100% and we had new people come in from out of the area, what would our population be if those were all, say, four people to a house?
Yeah, so if we were to go off the Department of Finance numbers right now, then we would be just over 30,000 based upon what we anticipate. If that's everything that is currently approved right now were to build out, and then utilizing the average household size, we would end up just over 30,000 in population. And our general plan took us out to, I want to say the population estimate was as large as 40,000, correct?
I think so, yeah, because I think it went out to 2050 or something.
We are about 26,200.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, of course, unofficial. That's,
yeah,
at any given time, who knows? But that's pretty dang close to where we are.
Born in Reedley,
right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Me?
No.
I was out of
9,000.
44 years. In 1977, how many people were there? 9,000?
Wow.
Yeah, growing.
I remember as a kid coming in, it'd only be like 4,400.
Yep. It's amazing what happens over time, huh?
It was 9,000 people in my neighborhood down south. I just can't fathom.
Thank you for the reports. Good meeting.
Yes.
Do we have a motion?
I so move.
You have a motion?
Yes. A second.
And we have a second.
All right.
Yeah, do you want to do it? Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.